Good afternoon, everyone who's came along. Thank you for coming. I won't keep you too long. I know we're looking for a quarter to finish. I would just like to read some verses from the Bible. And the reason why we do that is the message that we're preaching today is from the Bible. This is not the message of Albert Hall. It's not the message of Linwood Gospel Hall. This is the message of the Bible. God's word. And sometimes when I'm going through Paisley, the church isn't there anymore, but sometimes I'd pass this old church building and there's a big banner right in the front of it, and it didn't have any displays, any times given. It just said, "The word of the Lord will be preached here on Sunday afternoon." And that's exactly what's happening here today. This isn't my mess. This is the word of the Lord. This is God's message from the Bible. So we'll just start. I'd like to really focus in on, I'm going to mention three verses. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to them, but we'll try and read them clearly. And we'll make not too much comment on them. We'll just try and bring out what we can. So the first verse I'd like to read is Romans chapter 10. And the verse we'll focus on is verse 9. But I'd like to just read verse 8 just for connection. Romans 10 and 8. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says this, "But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So this is the message that Paul preached. And the message is this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Thou shalt be saved. And then I'd like to just read a verse or two in Matthew chapter 10. Do a little bit of acrobatics here. We'll be jumping about. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and verse 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." In verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And then the last verse over at the opposite end of our Bibles in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." And trust that God will bless the public reading of his word. Now, no doubt you've all noticed the main word that I'll be drawing our attention to, and it's this word, confess. We've read it a few times over in our verses, confess. Now, if you were to ask me, what does that mean? Just say 10, 15 years ago, before I was a Christian, I would have quickly thought of confession in the chapel, because that's what I was accustomed to, that's what I was brought up in. I used to have to go into a little hole in the wall inside the chapel, and then there'd be a mesh screen, which you can only really see a vague silhouette, and on the other side would be the priest, and I would go in there to confess. I'd go in for confession. And what I would do is I would say, "Father, forgive me for I have sinned." Give him a list of things I've done wrong. And then he would say, "I absolve you of your sins. Go and say 10 Hail Marys, 10 Our Father, blah, 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 the Rosie, whatever." That's the conclusion I would have jumped to if you asked me. But now, having read the Bible, we're not talking about confession in the Catholic sense. We're talking, what does the Bible mean to confess? And that's really it's quite a strong word. I'm not going to do it much justice here, but the idea really with confession is to profess or to strongly acknowledge, to assent to. So I really want to just hone in with the time that we've got, Romans 10 and 9, and this word confess. Now we know to confess, it's to profess. Now really, what is the thrust of this verse saying? It's that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now when I was mulling this over and thinking about that, it's not really saying You've not to confess in or on, it's actually to confess the Lord Jesus. Now really what that's telling us here is his person. As a person, he is the Lord, he's sovereign. The Lord Jesus, the man that manifest in the flesh that the Gospels tells us about. And I've just noted down a few things, really. I've mentioned it there. He was God in flesh. We think about it every time at Christmas, that the Lord Jesus left heaven and he came to earth to dwell here for 33 and a bit years. He came to Bethlehem. He was a real man. But what did the angels say at that time? They said to the shepherds and to Mary and so on, they said, you shall call his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. You should call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, Jehovah the Saviour. That's who we're talking about. Confess him as Lord, as your God. That's what we've got here. And I just noted down a few things that I'll really try and focus in on here about the Lord. In no particular order. You could probably put them in a better order than this. But what did he do here on earth? What are we believing? We're not just believing he existed. That's not the kind of belief the Bible talks about. We're not just acknowledging that he was real, because he was. History, archaeology, and there's all these kind of things outside the Bible that we can turn to. But that's not what we're talking about. The Bible's not talking about mental assent. It's not talking about, well, yeah, I believe he existed. The people that he spoke to believe that he existed. But what do we have here? The Bible tells us all about the miracles of the Lord Jesus, all the things. And why did he do those miracles? Primarily, he did it to help the people that were hungry, ill, maimed, whatever the case may be. That was, you know, first and foremost, he helped the people. He had compassion on them. But we can learn lessons, because oftentimes these things that we read about in the scripture is a picture of us. It gives us lots of different angles of ourselves. And I was thinking about the Lord. What did he do? He fed the 5,000. He fed many people over his time. And these are all conservative guesses. He fed 5,000 people. Why? Well, they were hungry. And what does that speak about? That speaks about us, because today we are hungry. We are hungry, spiritually speaking, we are hungry for God. People try and go through their lives without God, and it often leads to disaster, emptiness, because we've all got that longing inside of us. I experienced that myself before I was a Christian, the total emptiness of life, because I was hungry, I was yearning for something. The Lord said himself, I have meat to eat that you know not of. No, there's something better than what we have here. I remember, just to quote the preacher that I got saved under, David's laughing, the preacher that I got saved under, he used to say this sometimes when he was heckled, when he was preaching out in the open air, and they'd say, somebody would heckle saying, you know, it's all just pie in the sky. Christianity's pie in the sky. And then Joe Baxter, the man himself, would often reply, this isn't pie in the sky, this is steak in the plate while we wait. It's here. You know, there's satisfaction here on earth just now, through Christ, having him as your saviour. He fed people because you and I are hungry. If you're not saved, you've still got that hunger that needs to be satisfied, and only Christ can fulfil it. And what did they do? What else did they do? He walked on the water. We read about that. The disciples, they were toiling away, they were struggling, they were rowing at their boat, and they were in this tempest, they were in this storm, and they couldn't overcome it. And the Bible says that they kept toiling on. The Lord never condemned them for it, by the way, but they kept doing it and they were making no progress. And a lot of them were seasoned fishermen on that very lake, and they feared for their lives. But yet, what do we have? We've got the Lord Jesus, who comes walking on the water, and he draws alongside them. Notice what they were sinking in, what they were struggling in, he was totally above. He walked on it. He was on the water. He wasn't affected by it. He wasn't getting dragged down himself. And so it is. We can have trials in life. We, because we're sinners, we have trials in life. And sometimes sin just wants to bring us down and down and down. And ultimately it will take us to hell and the lake of fire. That's where sin's end is. That is the direction of travel that sin has taken us in. But yet what we have is the Lord was totally above it. He was beyond it. He had control over it. He wasn't affected by it, because the Lord Jesus was sin apart. The Lord could say to people that accused him, they were baying for his blood, they wanted to kill him, and then the Lord could say to them, which of you convinceth me of sin? Not one person could point the finger at the Lord Jesus, because he was totally sin apart, because he was God manifest in flesh. He was 100% God, 100% man. He was totally and utterly set apart. And isn't that good news? Because that's the kind of Saviour we need. We need a Saviour who's sinless. We need a Saviour who's not affected with the same things that we are affected by. What else did he do? He healed people. He healed many people, but he healed people with leprosy in particular. Leprosy, time and time again in the Bible, talks about, it's a picture of sin. It's a picture of sin. And yet, this is a disease in the day, only up until fairly recent history, there was no cure for. And what it would do, it was rotten. Your flesh would literally rot and it would fall off and all these kind of horrible side effects, and again, ultimately it'd lead you to the grave. And these people, they had to live in camps, little colonies outside of the main cities, because you couldn't touch them. So they had no fellowship, they had no friendship, they had nothing. There was no satisfaction for them. They had to live totally ostracized outside the camp, as it were. They had to stay outside of the city walls. But yet, when we read about the Lord Jesus, you actually see him, they're queuing up to meet him, and he's there waiting. He's there, he's actually drawing them in. Why? Because he loved them. And actually the Bible says it says it many times, but the one that comes to mind is in Mark chapter 1, I think, and it says Jesus, moved with compassion, healed them all. That's the kind of Saviour that we're promoting today. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about a Saviour who has compassion, not just on the people of the Bible, but he has compassion for us here today in Renfrew, in Linwood, in Scotland. He still has compassion for you and I. Still has compassion. So we've read so far, we've thought about the time he's fed those who are hungry. We're hungry. We've read about the trials of life. The Lord's above that and he can help us, because he actually quietened the storm and he got them out of that. We've read about that picture of sin, that sin that stinks, that's in our lives. And then what else do we read? We can read about many times over about people that were demon-possessed. They were totally and utterly controlled and under satanic influence. Because that's the way it is. If you're not saved, if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell inside you as a believer, then you're actually under the power and jurisdiction of Satan himself. That's a scary thought. A very scary thought. And you read about these people and it says they were cutting themselves, they were getting dragged down. There was one man who lived in the tombs and the locals had to bind him in chains because he was that fearful, or people were fearful of him, I should say. And there's many people in this world, again, we don't need to look far, maybe not in this room, but certainly in Renfrew and Linwood and Paisley, all over, there's people that are possessed and they're, you know, we talk about the demon drink. There's people that are bound by alcohol. There's people that are bound by drugs. There's people that are bound by, you might even say, we always go to the bad stuff, the things that look bad, but there's people that are bound by their work. There's people that are, you know, that's all they can do, never mind the Sabbath, you know, never mind putting a day aside, no, it's work, work, work. Why? Because they want to obtain, they want to get more. We read about a farmer, and he says, you know, I'm gonna tear down my barns, I'm going to build more, build bigger. There's no thought for God. And there's people, and there could be someone in this room today, and maybe you're just, you know, you are totally and utterly bound up by the things of this life. You're not giving a thought to God. But yet, we've got the Lord Jesus who's standing waiting, beckoning for you. You know, he speaks to us through his word, and he's calling, you know, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord talks to a woman at a wellside in John 4, and he says, you know, I'll give you drink. I'll give you drink that satisfies, and there'll be a well of water that comes up within you. That's the kind of satisfaction that the Lord Jesus can offer today. Not like what the world offers. But then what else? We read about through the Gospels that he heals the lame. That's another picture of us. These people that were totally useless, they were crippled, they were paraplegic, they couldn't move for themselves. We read about a man who actually had to be brought by four of his friends because he couldn't move himself. And then they broke up the roof and then they lowered him down because this man couldn't do anything himself. And again, that's a picture of us. We can't do anything. I said, we cannot get one step closer to God. Again, I've mentioned it briefly at the start. I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I was always told that what you need to do is you need to go to Mass What you need to do is you need to say the rosary. What you need to do is your penance. So we're going to walk up this big steep hill. We're not going to blah, blah, blah. But this is us getting merit with God. We're going to have to do this. My grand would say, when you're older, son, you need to go to Lourdes, and then you're going to have to go to the Vatican, and then you're going to have to do all these things to try and make an effort to get closer to God. But what the Bible teaches us is actually, if we haven't been forgiven, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you've not confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're actually totally and utterly paralyzed. You cannot get one step closer to God. You're maimed, you're helpless, absolutely helpless. The Bible says that you're dead in trespasses and sins. Dead men can't move. But what do we have here? Kept the last one. The Lord Jesus raises the dead. We can read it time and time again through the Gospels. He raises, most famously, Lazarus. He'd been dead for 3 or 4 days at that point. And he raised the dead. And again, that's a picture of us because we're dead. But the Lord Jesus is the ultimate dead lifter. He raises people from the dead. He gives life. That's who we're talking about today. And you'll be looking at the time. We won't go into as much detail with the rest. But really, what is this verse saying? Confess the Lord Jesus as your Lord, your sovereign. We think about, we live in a country with a monarch. You know, the king is our Lord and sovereign, on paper anyway. But he's totally aloof. I've never met the king, never met the queen. I don't know if I've ever been within a mile of the king or queen at any time in my life. But today we're talking about the God of heaven who came from heaven down to earth to meet us in our need. The Lord Jesus is not aloof. He's not distant. He's here for us today. He came for us. And what do we have here? It says in our verse, look at our verse again. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. What's your heart? We're not talking about mental assent. We're not talking about just glibly acknowledging. We're talking about believing in the heart. The heart in the Bible often speaks about the center of our affection. Where your heart, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. You know, and that's really no. Do you believe it? Can I ask that question? Do we all believe? Can we all confess that? If someone asked, is that what we actually believe? Or does your life tell a different story? But here we have it in the rest of that verse. God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It all hinges on the fact that we're not promoting a dead saviour. We're not here to talk about, you know, some dead religious figure from years gone by. You know, as my gran had umpteen pictures all over her fridge, all in her living room, of canonized people from years gone by. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're talking about a living savior. We're here to talk about one who actually went down into death and one who actually conquered death. And he was raised 3 days later. And not only that, he then ascended back up into heaven. And he now lives in the power, the Bible says, of an endless life. I'm promoting today, I'm trying to tell you about a living Saviour. One that we can put our faith in, one who raises the dead, one who actually can actually meet you in your need here in Renfrew today, right now, as we speak. As I speak to you, if you're not saved, if there's someone in this room who has not put their faith in Christ, who has not accepted him as Lord and Saviour, you can, here, right now, in your own seat. So we've read about the Lord and his sovereign, his ruler. And then, just very briefly, we'll just really covered most of what I want to say, but just briefly, I want to just turn over to that verse in Matthew chapter 10. Just briefly. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Is there someone in this room today who's maybe fallen into the category of verse 33? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That word deny, we lose the thrust off it in English, but in the original language, the idea is to reject, to absolutely and utterly reject. That is the idea. You know, we can say what we want with our lips. We can say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I do this, I blah, blah, blah. I give to charity, all these wonderful things. I'm not saying they're bad things, you know. You obviously do come to church because you're here. Keep coming. But don't hang your hat on that to get to heaven. We're not talking about just glib sayings, you know, but does your life match up with it? Do you actually reject God? Do you reject God and what he's done on the cross? Do we reject the Lord? Because we can, it's easy to do. It's easy to come along and play church. But has there been a time when you've actually acknowledged and confessed the Lord Jesus as your Saviour here on earth? Because, you know, I'm not here to start preaching turn or burn kind of gospel messages, but the reality is the Bible talks about heaven and it talks about hell. You know, that is the seriousness of the message of the Bible. Actually, the rest of this chapter in Matthew, you know, the Lord says himself, in verse 34, actually, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. There's division. Becoming a Christian, there's division because all of a sudden people in the house, friends, family, maybe you're not going to associate the same way. Maybe you're not going to get along just as well if you say, well, I'm actually a Christian. I actually believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Saviour. That's a bit crazy. Oh, well, you're still going to come out and drink, though. You're still going to come out and do that. You're still going to... actually, no, I can't, because he's my Lord and Sovereign. I'm under his jurisdiction now. I'm no longer the king of my own life. I'm no longer the rule maker. I'm no longer the one that chooses to do X, Y, and Z. But you've actually handed over sovereignty. You know, talk about politics. There's all sorts of... It's a word that they all love, you know, in politics, whether it's independence, whether it's Brexit, whether it's, you know, whatever. Talk about sovereignty. This is what the Bible's talking about, handing over your... You're no longer the sovereign of your own life. You're actually... When you become a Christian, you're putting Christ as the head of your life. He is the sovereign. He's the one that actually makes the decisions in your life. And can you honestly say that? If someone asked you truthfully, are you a Christian? Would you confess the Lord? Would you say, would you use that word we've read? Would he be the Lord Jesus? Or is it, Jesus, he was a good guy. Can you confess him? Because another verse actually just came to mind that we didn't read, and with this we'll finish. We read that verse in 1 John, and that talks about if you confess, God will dwell in you, and you in God. There's life. God can change you, he'll save you, and then he'll give you the help and the grace to get on with life, to live the Christian life. But there was actually a verse, I was reading it earlier on this week, and it was quite damning in a lot of ways, and with this we'll finish. And it's in John chapter 12, verse 42. And I'll put this out here. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers... This is off Israel, the chief rulers of Israel. Also many believed on him. That's good. That's a really good start. But because of the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So really that's all your social ties. That's all, maybe all your employment was tied up with the synagogue, maybe all your work came from there, you know. So consequences in verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And the time is gone, but we'll just leave that that question there. Whose praise do you value more? Do you value the praise of God, who spoke to us in his word that we need to repent from our sins, put our faith in Christ to be saved? Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from a wasted life here on earth, but saved ultimately from hell, and have God dwell in us. Or is the fear of man, does that just weigh a bit more heavily in your heart? What's my family going to say? I've been doing this for a long, long time. You know, I've been going to this place and doing that, and that's a habit now. You know, I can't stop swearing, I can't stop smoking, I can't stop drinking, I can't stop gambling, I can't stop doing X, Y, and Z. But I usually go to this place on a Sunday afternoon. You know, I like to, you know, if it was me, you know, I've got a season ticket at Parkhead. I can't commit to that. You know, no way. You know, what are my mates going to think? Or are we going to actually hold in higher esteem What does God think? Whose opinion do we value more? And with that, we'll finish. If there's any questions from anyone, because I know we've really skated over a lot of things, I've made a lot of bold claims. if there's any questions, please ask me. I'm happy to hang about. Thank you. Do you want me to say? We'll just close with a word of prayer. Our God, we give thanks that we've been able to come here this morning, this afternoon, to read your word. We give thanks for it. We give thanks that we're not here to think about our own opinions, Father, because our own opinions mean absolutely nothing. We give thanks that we can make these claims and speak about such weighty things, because your word speaks about it and we can have that authority from the word of God. And Father, we just pray that if there's anyone in here this afternoon who maybe isn't saved, Father, we pray that you would speak to them, speak to all our souls here. Father, we think if there's anyone even backslidden in our company, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would break down any barriers and that you would speak to us, Father, and that you'd take dealings with us all, Father, myself included. And we just pray that you'd give us help to esteem the praise of God more than the praises of men, Father. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.